Morning today, Daf and Shabbos Samach Gimel. We are in the Mishnah on the top of Samach Gimel. I'm at Aleph Mor, articles of clothing that are up for consideration. This parak, which has been a little bit on the longer side, this parak has dedicated itself to the topic of what clothing cannot be worn out in Shabbos. The default, of course, is that you can wear clothing on Shabbos. Clothing, of course, is a part of how we're mechabe Shabbos. We honor Shabbos by wearing special clothing on Shabbos. But nevertheless, certain article of clothing cannot be worn. The beginning of the parak discussed jewelry, but then we moved on to discuss other items which are a little bit stranger in nature, and the discussion and the question of whether or not one can wear certain items. We started the parak by discussing articles of clothing by women and jewelry by women, and then we moved on to discuss certain articles of clothing of men. And so we begin this morning with a discussion of what men can not wear on Shabbos. Lo yetzei ha'ish lo b'saif lo b'keshes. A man cannot go out on Shabbos not wearing. Now, when I say wearing, by the way, these are all weapons that we're going to be describing right now. But nevertheless, so the person can gird himself with these particular weapons, and so it is the description of the Mishnah is that the person is in fact wearing them. So he cannot go out with a scythe, with a sword, a lo b'keshes, not a bow, as in bow and arrow, v'lo b'tris, not a shield, lo ba'ala. The Gemara is going to tell us that it's a club. Not with a spear. And if a man were to go out wearing any one of these articles of clothing, this weaponry, so it's chayev chatas, meaning according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, it's mamash amasui. It's just simply a burden. In no way does it categorize as clothing, and so therefore it is the malacha of hotzah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tachshitin Hein Lo. Now Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that it does qualify as tachshitin. He does refer to it as an adornment. And so therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says it's not chayev achatas. Now, as Rabbi Eliezer goes so far to say that it's mota legamre, so that part is not perfectly clear, but certainly he does not put it under the category of a malacha d'oraisa. V'chachamim omrim, eino ela legnai. The chachamim say no. You can only call something a tachshit when it's an accessory, when it's something which is positive in nature. Weaponry, the only reason why we have weaponry is warfare. Now warfare, that is a necessary, but he describes it as something which is a necessary evil. And the Chachamim say, it's not something that we should be proud of. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, we're all familiar, V'chititu chavasam li'itim, V'chaniso seseyam le'mizmeros, V'lo yisa goi goi chayre, V'lo yimdu od melchama. So the Navi, when giving a forecast of what it's going to be looking like in the future, during the Zman HaMashiach, so we're going to take our weapons and we're going to basically convert them into tools for the for farming and for agriculture. And lo yisa goy al goy cherev, no nation is going to take up a sword against another nation, and no one's going to teach anyone warfare anymore. In other words, then it'll be a utopia world where there just simply won't be any more war. And so you see over here that the Navi's telling us this is what it's going to look like. So if the goal is never to engage in battle and war anymore, so that means to say that right now it's necessary. We have to have weapons. We have to defend ourselves. But it's not something that we should be proud of. And the Chachamim therefore say that it's not a shvach, but rather it's a genai, and therefore you can't call it a tachshit. And then the Mishnah ends off by saying, "Beiris tahor v'yotzei ba b'shabbos kvalim tamein v'im yotzei mem b'shabbos." And then the Mishnah goes on to describe two articles of, we'll call it right now, clothing. It's not exactly clothing. And the biris, which we touched on earlier, but we're going to discuss again. So that's tahora. That is something which is not mekabel tuma. And for the reasons which we're going to articulate in the Gemara, it does not define itself as a kli. And you can wear it on Shabbos. And the kvalim, which are subject to tuma, and it's mekabel tuma, and you cannot go out with it on Shabbos. So those last points of the Mishnah obviously need a lot more clarification, and we are going to suspend any discussion until we get to the Gemara later on. We'll get to it at the end of today's daf in terms of what the biris is, what the kavalot are, and what exactly are the issues regarding those two items. My bala be'ala, when the Mishnah is describing these weapons that are taken out, so the Gemara starts off the discussion by saying, I know what everything basically is in the Mishnah, right? We know what a saif and a keshet is. We know what a tris is. A romach, these are words that we're familiar with. The word Allah, so obviously the Gemara had a little bit of confusion of what that is, but the Gemara immediately clarifies, kulpa, it's a club, right? On the side of the Gemara, you can see, right, the sheva shemakim bo v'rosho av. It's a big stick that you hit somebody else with, and it happens to have a very wide end to it. So it's what you and I would describe as a club. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Tachshit and Hein Lo. So we have now in the Mishnah a debate whether or not weapons are considered something which is a tachshit, something which could be defined as some sort of accessory, or on the other hand, no, it's not something that we could describe as an accessory. So Tanya, we are going to be seeing a couple of brises that are going to expound on this debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Amr lo li Rabbi Eliezer. So they say to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning the Chachamim, you really want to call it tachshit, and meanwhile it's going to be annulled once we get to the time of Mashiach. The Pesukim say, now here in the Braisa, yeah, so the, sorry. So Amar Lehen, so he says back to them, Lefishen and Tzrichim. So Rabbi Elazar's response is, no, you don't understand. Meaning it's a tachshit. We don't need it for the Zman of Mashiach. It's not because it's negative, it's just simply because it's unnecessary. Shenamah, the Pasuk says, Lo Yisa Goya Goya Cherev. So, V'tavilenoy Ba'ama. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's not necessary. But why can't, during the time of the Mashiach, why can't it just simply be decorative? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, me did the Havei Ashraga B'tahara. So Abaye says, well, look, a candle and the light that it provides is tremendously useful. So would you be carrying around a candle during the daytime? No, why? Because it's unnecessary. So the same thing regarding Rabbi Eliezer in the times of the Mashiach. Meaning he feels that these weapons are really a tachshit. They're really something that a person adorns himself with. We're not wearing it during the times of the Mashiach. It's just simply unnecessary. And a person going around with it during the times of the Mashiach would be no different than a person carrying around a candle during the daytime. Candle's positive. Candle's good. Just there's no need for it. Rabbi Eliezer says the same thing during the times of the Mashiach. So what we have over here now and what we're going to get into is a very basic machlokas amongst the Tanaim, amongst the Amoraim, in terms of what is the world going to look like during the Zman of Mashiach. Now, obviously, this is a huge topic, and this is something where, as much as we're given descriptions in the Gemara, and the primary source, the primary Gemara to turn to, in terms of this discussion, will be the 11th paragraph of Sanhedrin, where the Gemara discusses extensively, blot after blot, in terms of giving us a picture of what the world will look like during the times of the Mashiach. Nevertheless, after all said and done, the Gemara does not give us a clear picture. The Gemara gives us a picture, but it's very opaque and it's very unclear. And as we're going to see right now, as we're touching on it right now, there's a basic debate amongst the Tanaim and the Amoraim in terms of the nature of the Zman HaMashiach. Is it going to be a time of miracles, or is it going to be basically the world as we see it right now, just much more organized and the Jews having much more autonomy? And here we have this basic debate. So as we just learned together, the Shita of the Chachamim, and truth of the matter is Rabbi Eliezer agrees with this point as well, it just happens to be how to look at the weapons, but the Shita of the Chachamim is that once we move to the period of the Mashiach, there will not be any war anymore. So that means to say, now truth of the matter is that could be considered natural and normal, but as we're going to see in just a moment, the Gemara assumes no. In other words, if we're living in a world with no war, so that is a miraculous existence. That's the Shita of the Chachamim. And the Gemara notes of Pliga de Shmuel. And this goes against the Shita of Shmuel. Now it's interesting because Shmuel's an Amora, but he's an early generation Amora, and as we're going to see in just a moment, it could be that he has Tanaitic support as well. But this goes against the Shita of Shmuel. The Shita of Shmuel, we are given over numerous times throughout Shas. We already saw it back in Brachos. We are going to be seeing it a couple times in Shabbos. Sanhedrin, the 11th Perek, obviously, which is the primary source, is where we hear Shmuel's position a couple of times as well. The only difference between the world as we see it right now and the times of Mashiach is only going to be Shibat Galios. It's only going to be the idea that we're subject and subservient to other nations. We're not going to be subject and subservient to other nations. We're going to be an autonomous nation. But that's it. After that, the world will exist as it exists right now. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, Ki lo yechdal avyom mikarev haaretz. The Pasuk says that there will never cease to be poor people in the world. There are always going to be poor people in the world. As a result of that, we see that even during the Zman of Mashiach, so there's going to be poverty. And if we're trying to describe this utopia society, so obviously utopia does not have poverty in it. By virtue of the fact that there's poverty, so you see that's basically it's a world as we know it. And the Jewish people are also going to experience war and poverty and all the struggles that we face as a society. The only difference is going to be that the Jewish people are going to be an autonomous nation. And we'll also add, Tosfos over here, the only Tosfos on the summit, Tosfos points out, obviously there will be a Beis HaMikdash, and there will be more Hashras HaShechina. So okay, so obviously it'll look a little bit different, but in terms of how the world operates, it operates on a natural level. Obviously, this position of Shmuel is, it takes away, strips away all the idealistic views of what the world will look like during the times of the Mashiach. It's very rustic. It's very natural as we know it. Okay, but that's the Shita of Shmuel. And so what the Gemara now notes is that the position of the Chachamim taken in our Mishnah and in the Brisa is going against the position of Shmuel. And the Gemara points out, Misa'ilei l'Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. And the Gemara says now, Shmuel goes against Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Now the Gemara says, Misa'yeya. The Siyu, as Rashi over here explains, goes back to the original Brisa. And that is the Brisa supports Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Damar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Kol HaNavim L'Nustanvu, Eloi Mos Mashiach. All the Nebuahs that we have regarding this utopia existence that we're going to live, and this and this world order that's going to have miracles and no poverty, etc. So that's all describing the Emes Mashiach. Obviously, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is diametrically opposed to the Shita of Shmuel. Aval Olam Haba. Now, as far as Olam Haba is concerned, what does that look like? Ayin LaRasa Elokim Zulascha. So that's something that's indescribable, literally indescribable. The only one who could describe Olam Haba is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the best that the Nevi'im have to in terms of description is just simply the period of Mashiach. Obviously, and again, going back to the 11th parak of Sanhedrin, this is a major discussion. So there are two periods of the future. One is the Zman HaMashiach, and the other one is the period of Olam Haba. How exactly that works? So that's obviously a really difficult question, one which we're not going to be discussing right now, but they are clearly two distinct periods. As far as Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is concerned, he says that the description that's given regarding all the Nevi'im giving a forecast for the future of this idealistic utopian existence, that's talking about the Zman HaMashiach. In terms of the Olam Haba, that simply is indescribable. Where do we land right now in the Gemara? A major debate, a dispute amongst the Tanaim and the Amoraim, what Zman HaMashiach is going to look like. And so one position is that Zman HaMashiach is going to be a utopia, something where there's not going to be poverty, there's not going to be warfare, and it will be a different existence than the one that we're experiencing right now. As such, how does that relate to our discussion in our Gemara? So weapons. Weapons are simply going to be unnecessary. And a debate amongst the Tanaim. Does that mean that weapons should be viewed as a negative item or no? Weapons are really a tachshit. They're really an adornment. Just simply unnecessary. But that is one viewpoint. The other viewpoint, which is predominantly led by the Shita of Shmuel, is that no, there really is no difference between the period that we live in right now and the period of the Mashiach, other than the fact that we are autonomous nation, but outside of that, the world will look like it basically looks like right now. And admittedly, that's not idealistic, but that's the Shita of Shmuel, and you can certainly imagine the Rambam does follow that position. I don't have the Rambam in front of me right now. I'm not reading the Rambam in front of me, but I strongly encourage read the Rambam, where you're going to get a picture similar to that of Shmuel. Igad Armi, now, but going back to the Gemara, we have a slightly different version of this discussion. Amar lo l'Rebbe Eliezer, v'chimei achet, t'achshitin hein, lo mibnei ma hein betelu l'yemos ha-Mashiach. So again, the back and forth between the Chacham and Rebbe Eliezer, the Chacham and say to Rebbe Eliezer, you think it's a tachshit, you think it's a jewelry, it's an accessory? Well, we're not going to need anymore during the times of the Mashiach. Amar lahem af l'yemos ha-Mashiach, hein betelu. Now here in this version of the Braisa, what is Rebbe Eliezer's response? We are going to need them during the Zman HaMashiach. Oh, so in the second version now, Rebbe Eliezer is clearly siding with that of Shmuel. The Gemara makes exactly that point. Hainu de Shmuel. U pligi de Rebbe Chiya bar Abba. And obviously now Rebbe Eliezer in the second version is siding with Shmuel and going against Rebbe Chiya bar Abba. And obviously for Shmuel, this would be a quote-unquote a better way to say it, because now he has Tanaitic support in the Mishnah itself. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar le Abaye le Rav Dimi, v'amri lo le Rav Avya, v'amri lo Rav Yosef le Rav Dimi, v'amri lo le Rav Avya, v'amri lo Abaye le Rav Yosef. Obviously, a lot of versions of who said it, but in the last version, Abaye says the following to Rav Yosef, my tamad de Rabbi Eliezer, d'amar tachshitin ein lo. I don't understand the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. You're calling weapons an accessory, a jewelry, an ornament? So the Gemara says, yeah, d'chsiv, chagor charbecha al yerech gibor. Hodecha v'hadarecha. So the pasuk in Tehillim says that you're going to gird your sword on your loin. You're a warrior. Hodecha v'hadarecha. It is your glory. It is your splendor. Good. So then the pasuk in Tehillim clearly describes it as being hod v'hadar. Okay. So this is certainly supportive of the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Amli Rav Kana Lamar Bered Rav Huna Hai B'Divrei Torah Ksiv. Now the Gemara deflects and the Gemara says, no, that pasuk over there, that's not to be understood literally. That's not talking about actual weapons. It's talking about the warrior of Torah. When the warrior of Torah goes out to learn, so he has to make sure that he's armed himself. How does somebody learning arm himself? It's very simple. Learn the Mishnayos, know the basics, know the rudimentary facts. And now when you go and you're having a discussion in Torah, so now that you're armed and prepared, that's what the pasuk at Dilim says. The counter response is, that's a nice drasha. It's a wonderful drasha. I love the drasha. At the same time, however, you can't escape from the simple reading of the pasuk. And we have a rule of ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. We discussed this back in Pesachim. It comes up other places as well. This idea of ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. And the Gemara over here says, good. So yeah, the drashas are wonderful. And they're important. And they shape halacha as well. But in terms of simple understanding of the Torah, and in this case the Navi, it's inescapable. You have to work with it. So Rav Kahana says, I was 18 years old, and at that point in time, I finished Shas. So I knew all Shas Mishnah. Shas, by the way, back then, Rav Kahana is an Amora. So when he talks about knowing Shas, he means Shas Mishnah. So he knew all the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. He says, but I'll tell you what though, a lesson that I never learned until I was older is that at the same time, drashas chazal, but there's also pasha pshat of the Torah. And you have to accept both, meaning there's drashas chazal, the pasha pshat, and the idea of pasha pshat is something that I only understood later. So my kamash malan deligmar inishvah delizbar. Now the Gemara says, that's all very good, but what do we walk away from that? So what we walk away from that is the following. That sometimes you learn and you don't fully understand that what you're learning. To which the Gemara says, that's good. That's fine. Right? First, number one, Ligmar Inish, a person should learn. You don't understand everything? Good. But nevertheless, now you're at least given the vocabulary, the tools of that which Torah is founded on. And then afterwards, Hadalizbar, and afterwards you're going to be able to think about it, process it, and go over it. Good. So the Gemara says, that's what we learned from Rav Kahana. He didn't know some basic tenets about how to read psukim and how to understand things and aim mikra yosef neim pshuto. And then that's fine. In other words, go learn, even though your understanding of it right now is extraordinarily rudimentary, but that's a process in which a person should learn. The Gemara now will be spending a good amount of time, the remainder of this amud, in order to describe styles of learning, how a person should learn, who a person should learn from. So the Gemara now gets into this discussion regarding learning. I'm Rav Yirmiya, I'm Rav Elazar, Shnei Tamidei Chachamim, Mechadim Zeh Lazeh Ba'alacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lehem. Two Tamidei Chachamim who sharpen one another, bounce ideas off one another, and help each one of them sharpen each other's ideas. So Kadosh Baruch Hu will give them success. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, V'hadarcha Tzilach. So we are going back to the Pasuk here in Tehillim, and we are just basically going to be cutting up the Pasuk, going phrase by phrase and explaining each one in the context of learning. Meaning that's what the Gemara said earlier when we quoted this Pasuk of Chagur Charbachal Al Yerach Gibor, that the simple pshat of the drasha is that it is related to Limud HaTorah. So Gemara is going to continue now with the explanation that is Bederech Hadrush. So Vahadar Chatzlach, so if you are Hadar, you're going to be Matzliach Al Tikrei. So obviously now we are Bederech HaDrush, so it gives us the license to go ahead and just adjust some of the letters. The Hey and the Ches are interchangeable. The Dal and the Resh become interchangeable. So Hadar, which means splendor and glory, could also be understood as Chadad, which means to sharpen. V'lo od ela sh'olam l'gdula. If these two Tamidei Chachamim sharpen one another, they're both going to get elevated in promotion. Shenemar Tzlach Rechav. They're going to be riding high. Yachla afilo shalo lishma. What if their reasons for learning are not good reasons? They're not learning lishma, but they're learning shalo lishma for ulterior motives. Tamalamar al-davar emes. The pasuk in Tehillim says it has to be for truth. Yachul im higiz aito. Tamalamar v'anav atzedek. What if they get arrogant because they now know all this Torah to which the Gemara describes? Anav atzedek, no, that can't be. They must remain humble. If they are not, they're not going to receive this hatzlacha we just described. The emosin king zochin l'Torah shenin aviyamin. Now, if they sharpen each other and they do so for the right reasons and they do so with humility, so then they're going to be receiving the Torah shenin aviyamin that was given by the right hand of Akash Baruch Hu kaviyachol. Shenamar v'saros chana ras yaminecha. So again, now going to the conclusion of this pasuk in Tehillim. So it is that which you give with your right hand. The Torah was given with the right hand. Mimino eish das lama. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar zochin ledvarim shenamar b'yamina shel Torah. They're going to merit with the things that were given with the right of the Torah. D'amar Rava barav Shila v'amila amar Rav Yosef barchama amar Rav Sheshes my dechsev the pasuk. So the longevity and the life come from the right hand, and bismola on the left hand comes osher v'chavod. So ella b'yamina orichamim ika osher v'chavod leka. Now the pasuk as it's read means what? The right hand only provides orich yamim. The right hand does not provide osher v'chavod. Obviously the pasuk needs explanation. Ella. For the people who are my meaning, the people who are right, we are not discussing politics over here. The people who are to the right, Rashi explains. Rashi actually offers here two pshatim. The first pshat of Rashi is that they work hard, right? Typically, the person is a right-handed dominant person, and so therefore, anything that he is going to be doing with force and strength, he's going to be doing with his right hand. And if the person works hard at learning, so he's going to benefit both in orech yamim and length of days, and also osher v'chavod. And lemasmi'ilim ba. Now, if you do learn, but you just simply don't put all your effort, your full effort in it, this is still Rashi's first pshat. So then osher v'chavod ik orech yamim leka. So then you're still going to get the benefit of osher v'chavod, but you won't get the benefit of orech yamim. That is the Gemara's understanding of the pasuk in Mishlei. And in the context of our Gemara, it means putting more effort into one's learning. Rashi also does offer another pshat in terms of those to the right and those to the left. Rashi's second pshat is those to the right are those who are learning Torah Lishma. Those to the left are the people who are learning it Shlo Lishma. How does that come out from the words right and left? It's a little bit challenging. But anyway, okay, that is a description of how a person should be learning. The Gemara continues on this trend. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. If you have two Talmidei Chachamim who are pleasant to one another, meaning their objective is to get to the truth, and they help with each other, and they support each other, and they're nice and pleasant to one another, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makshiv lahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to them. In other words, if Mida connected Mida, they listen to each other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore will listen to them. Shenemar az nidbru yirei Hashem. And the word dibur over here means people who are listening to one another. In dibur ela nachas. Dibur means pleasantly. Shenemar yadber amim tachtenu. Pasuk over here familiar. This is the pasuk that we say before Tkiyas HaShofar and Rosh Hashanah. One of the pasukim. Mai l'choshei shmo. And the Navi goes on to describe that you are going to be choshvei shmo. Amar Rabbi Ami afilu chishev. Lazos mitzvah venenas velo asa. Mala alav akasav ki ilu asa. That when it comes to doing a mitzvah, so doing a mitzvah obviously is invaluable, but even thinking about doing a mitzvah, a person had a machshava to do a mitzvah and the circumstances that were beyond his control prevented him from doing a mitzvah, nevertheless, it's ke'ilu, it's as if he did the mitzvah. Am Rabbi Chinan Abar Idi kol ha'usa mitzvah kema'amara ein mevasu naso besuros ra'os. And as long as we got on to the topic of doing mitzvahs, the Gemara just has a couple of other Ma'amare Chazal term in terms of the significance of doing a mitzvah and doing it in the correct manner. Anyone who does it, ki ma'amara, as stated, meaning and follows the details of the halacha, so that person is not going to be given unpleasant news. Shenamar, shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. The person who is careful about keeping the mitzvahs will not hear about a davara. Amar Avasi v'tem Rabbi Chanina afilo Kadosh Baruch Hu goes gzera hu. Mivatla. Even if a Kadosh Baruch Hu made a decree against you, he will annul that decree. Shenamar. Ba'asher dvar melech shatonu mi yomar lo ma ta'aseh. So we have that a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a decree, and samach lei shomer mitzvos lo yeda davara. And meanwhile, juxtaposed to that, right next to that pasuk is another pasuk that says that for the shomer mitzvah, for the one who is careful in keeping the mitzvah, he will lo yeda davara. He will not hear anything bad. And so the Gemara assumes that. That will even break, it will abrogate a bad decree that was going against you. Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon Malachi Shnei, Tamid Chacham, and Mavakshin Zela Zeba Alacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomea LeKolan. Similar to what we said earlier, if I have two Tamid Chachamim who are requesting from one another, seeking each other out in terms of helping and aiding one another, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomea LeKolan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to them. Shenemar HaYoshev is Beganim Chavirim, makshivim lekolecha hashmieni. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim describes that when they are in the garden and they are friends asking and requesting for one another. Obviously, the Gemara, whenever citing the pasukim in Shir Hashirim, do not understand it literally, but understand it b'derech hadrushus is a perfect example. So over here, we're describing the Talmidei Chacham, and we're actually looking out for one another. Now, if you don't have the Talmidei Chachamim seeking one another, so what happens then is that the Shekhinah just goes right into departure mode. And we go back to the Pesukim Sher Hashem, Barach Dodi, that my beloved has left me. That's a description here of the Talmidei Chachamim who are not seeking one another. Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Shimon Malakish. By the way, just as an observation, a lot of these Mamarim come from Reish Lakish. Right? Without doing a formal count, this is now going to be 1, 2, 3. It's going to be either the third or fourth time that we're calling Reish Lakish in terms of the how to learn and who to learn from. The Gemara quotes another Shnei Tamid Chachamim Hamadgilim Zelazebalacha. So you have Tamid Chachamim who are middagel. Now middagel is a strange word. It comes from the word dagel, which means a flag. And the way Rashi understands it is that they are assembling with one another. When you have a flag, you raise a flag. So that means that people are under this banner. So we're talking about people assembling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh, Havan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves that Shenemar, V'diglu alay ahava. So they have congregated under the banner, for my sake, in love. Amar Rav Avuhu, the Adei Tzursa Deshmaita. Now Rav assumes over here that we're talking about people who are getting together to learn, who don't have a Rebbe per se. But in other words, but they really want to learn, they really want to understand Dvar Hashem, so they get together. That's the way Rava understands it. So Rava says, that's wonderful, it's laudable. However, they have to know the basics, right? The way he describes it, they have to know Tzursa D'Shmaisa, they have to know the Tzura, they have to know at least the basic points in the discussion in order so that when they get together, so that will enhance their understanding. And then Rava also points out, V'hu D'Leisle Rabba B'masa L'migmar Mineh. And that's talking about specifically somebody who does not have a Rebbe in their town where they cannot learn from the Rebbe. So then it is praiseworthy to get together to try to understand that which the Torah says. But if they have a Rebbe in their town, in their community, they can learn from the Rebbe. So then Rebbe says, obviously, they should be going to the Rebbe and learning from somebody who is proficient in this matter. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rebbe Shimon Malakish Varmila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Reish Lakish Varmila, Amar Rebbe Abba, Amar Rebbe Shimon Ben Lakish. I'm sorry, I skipped. I'm sorry. Let's go back. Okay, six lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Gadol Hamave Yoser Mina Oset Tzedakah. Greater is the one who lends rather than somebody who gives tzedakah. Here we are touching on the levels of giving tzedakah. The Rambam gives a total of 8 different levels in terms of giving tzedakah, one being higher than the next, and the Gemara over here touches on these ideas. So in terms of giving tzedakah, so there are levels. The Gemara over here doesn't go into the actual levels. But better than giving tzedakah is giving a loan. Because when you're giving a loan, so yeah, the person himself who is the recipient is going to have the dignity of knowing that, yes, I need help right now. And yes, I need a loan. But at the same time, I do plan on giving it back. I do plan on paying it back. As opposed to tzedakah, where the recipient is not going to be able to hold as much self-dignity. Now, in terms of even a higher level, would be giving the person the ability to make money. And so that means that if you give people an opportunity to make money, you give them business opportunities, so that's even on a higher level than that of even lending. Although sometimes when you lend, you're giving person capital in order to make money, but if you actually give him some sort of partnership in a business, even better. That's a higher form of helping other people. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish, Im Tam Chacham, No Kim, No Terka Nachash, Hu Chagurehu Al Masnecha. Rabbi Shimon Malakish says, let's say you have a Tam Chacham, and he happens to be, in terms of a personality, he happens to be a little bit difficult. He's vengeful. He holds a grudge. And No Kim, No Terka Nachash. The Gemara, when describing the most serious type of vengeful person, the Gemara always compares it to a snake. So Reish Lakish says that obviously in terms of midos, that's a difficult mida to have. And in fact, taking vengeance is an issur in the Torah. Although, to be fair and to be honest, there are occasions the Gemara says where Talmid Chacham is supposed to take nekama. Okay, but anyway, but what Reish Lakish is basically describing, and you'll see very clearly with the contrast, is that this person's personality is difficult, and he's a difficult person. But he's a Talmid Chacham, so Chagrei HaMasnecha. So therefore, what you should do is you should put him by your side. Meaning, right, literally, gird your loin with him. Right, hang out with him. That's somebody who should hang out with. Okay, his midos are not perfect, but he's a Talmid Chacham. Imam Aretu v'chassid, al tidur b'shkunaso. Now, let's say he's an Imam Aretu, but he's a wonderful person. But he's an Imam Aretu, so al tidur b'shkunaso, don't live in his community. So in other words, Reish Lakish says, look, if you have to choose in terms of what is going to be a priority in terms of your associations, so Reish Lakish says that a Talmid Chacham is going to go very high on the totem pole in terms of making those decisions of who you're associating with. And even though the Imam Aretz may be a wonderful person, he's a chassid, he's a wonderful person, but if he cannot help you in terms of your advancement of learning Torah, so that's somebody you should not be associating with. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish V'Amrila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Shimon Malakish V'Amrila, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Shimon Malakish Kol Amigado Kelav Rabbi Soch Beso Moneh Chesed Mitok Beso. The Gemara now is going to segue and veer off just a little bit, talking about having a dog in your house. Now, not just any dog, but Kelav Ra, having a bad dog in your house. So if you do, it's Moneh Chesed. You'll prevent Chesed from your house if you have such a dog. And Rashi over here gives the explanation on the bottom of the Amud. Because what happens when someone knocks on your door and that dog of yours goes crazy and starts barking? So he's not going to be knocking much longer. He'll make a U-turn. And so you had a chesed opportunity. You could have given him staka. Your dog chased him away. That's monea chesed mitoch beso shenemar. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk to describe this pasuk in Eov as we are turning to the Amud Beis. Lamas meirehu chesed. And how do we see from there that the dog is being moneh chesed? So a couple of things. First, let's see the Gemara. Shekem lashon yivan is covering lekel of lamas. So in Greek, the dog is referred to as lamas. I'm sure my pronunciation is awful. But nevertheless, that is how to say dog in Greek. So that is the pasuk in Eov. And we see this so many times throughout Shas where the Tanakh is borrowing language from other languages. Meaning with the assumption that, of course, lashon HaKodesh is the primary language. But not very often. Sometimes in Tanakh, we're going to be borrowing from other languages. That's acceptable. And not only acceptable, the Gemara does it. So you see that the dog over here is mentioned in this pasuk in Eov. Now, Mei Re'ehu Chesed Rashi says that the Mem, at the beginning of the word Mei Re'ehu, that is talking, that's understood, that's a prefix to speak to the idea of depletion and diminishment. And so, now putting all that together, the pasuk now in Eov is understood as that when you have a dog, so meireu chesed, it takes away from the person his ability to perform chesed, as we explained already. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar af porek mimenu yirashamayim. When you have a dog in your house, it minimizes the amount of yirashamayim that you have. Shenemar v'yireisa shakaya azov. That the same pasuk in Eov describes how you're gonna have diminishment of yirashamayim. Now, a simple way to understand the Gemara, Rashi over here doesn't explain, but the simple way to understand is that you have a dog in your house. You think now that your protection is coming from your dog. And it distracts you from realizing, from understanding that the real Shmira is coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's, I think, the simplest way to understand the Gemara. The Gemara tells a tragic story. A woman who was pregnant had to go to somebody else's house in order to bake. And so she wasn't in her own home. She knocked on somebody else's door. She went and baked bread in the other person's house. Happens to be that her neighbor had a dog, and a scary dog as well. Navach ba kava. And this dog barked at her fiercely. Eat akar vlada. And Rachmanis, she got so stressed, she got so scared that the baby, the fetus in utero. So it turned and she miscarried. Amrle marde beise. So the owner of the house says, oh, don't worry about my dog. Lo tatchilu. Don't be afraid. Deshkilu nive. The fangs of the dog, they were taken out. Ushkilu tufre. And the claws of the dog, so the dog got a manicure. Everything's fine. The dog's fine. Don't worry. So Amrle, so she says in response, shkulu tivosech v'shadjach achazre kvar nad vlad. So the woman who was pregnant, who knows now that she has a stillborn, she says, take your goodness and throw it outside. Meaning the fetus already moved. I know that damage, irreparable damage, occurred to the fetus. Okay, tragic story. Gemara obviously bringing this in over here to highlight how a person should not have a kelav ra in their house. Amar Avuna Mai Dichsiv. Heading back now to the drushas, the pasuk in Koheles. Samech b'chor b'yaldusecha v'yatev chli b'chei b'mei b'chor asecha v'halach b'darche li'b'cha u'v'mari einecha. So we open up with this pasuk in Koheles, and it starts off by saying that young man, just rejoice, be happy. Whatever your heart wants during your youth, that's fine. Halach b'darche li'b'cha, just follow your heart. U'v'mari einecha, whatever you see. So it does not sound like a way that we would instruct people to live responsibly. And then the pasuk doesn't end. The pasuk continues, "Vidaki al kol eile yiviyech alokim mishpat." And then you should know that everything you do, you're going to be judged. And so obviously the pasuk is tremendously confusing. Meaning, first the pasuk opens up by saying, "Right, follow your heart," and then the pasuk says, "And oh, by the way, all the things that you take advantage of, so you're going to be responsible, and there will be onus v'din on all those things." So, understandably, tremendously confusing. And the Gemara gives a couple of explanations. One, Adkan Devar Yetzer Hara Mikan Ve'Elech Devar Yetzer Tov. So the first explanation of the Gemara is this pasuk in Koheles is reflecting, right? I know we all have this scene in our head of the two angels sitting on your shoulder, one on your right, one on your left. So the not the most Jewish of ideas, but certainly Yetzer Hara Yetzer Tov. That is Yiddishkeit. And the idea is that the first half of the pasuk, that's your Yetzer Hara talking. The second half of the pasuk, that's your Yetzer Tov talking. And the person is sitting there in the balance between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov and listening to the two. And obviously, you should be trying to listen to the Yetzer Tov. That's the Bechir Chavshe that we have. That's one way to understand the pasuk. Reish Lakish Amar Adkan L'Divrei Torah Mikan Ve'Elech L'Masim Tovim. Reish Lakish gives a different understanding of this pasuk. The first half of the pasuk is learning Torah. Meaning, how should you learn Torah, right? And this is a wonderful way to wrap up the entire discussion. How should you learn Torah? You should learn Torah with childish joy. A person should love it. Should be in total ecstasy when learning Torah. So that's the way you should learn Torah. But when it comes to doing a mitzvah, so then seriousness, understanding that every mitzvah that you do will be recorded, and the way you perform it is going to be recorded, and the person should have that serious nature to it and understand that yaviyecha lokim b'mishpat. That's the way Shlakish's understanding of the of this pasuk in Koheles. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf. That was admittedly a very long sequence of the Gemara regarding how to learn, who to learn from, who not to learn from. But nevertheless, obviously the Gemara had a lot of Mamre Chazal, many of it, including the very tail end where we just finished was citing the Shita of Reish Lakish in terms of the nature of learning and how a person should learn. All this was engendered by the Gemara quoting the pasuk in Tehillim of Chagor Chavrcha Yerach Yibor Hodecha VeHadarecha, where the pasuk in Tehillim is describing how when you gird your loins with these weapons, so that's going to be your honor and your splendor. And this pasuk was brought because it defended the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that weapons are in fact considered a tachshit. They're considered an adornment. The person accessorizes himself by having these weapons on him. And it then goes all the way back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had a very fundamental debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer in terms of whether or not weapons can be considered a tachshit or they cannot be filed under the category of a tachshit. That is all the first half of today's daf, more than the first half of today's daf. And now we go back to the Mishnah, and we're going to be discussing the accessories that were described in the Mishnah. We start with the biris. The biris, the Mishnah says, tahora. So that is not a halacha regarding Shabbos. It's a halacha, obviously, regarding tum and tahara. And whatever this biris is, I'll give it away. It's a garter. It's a woman's garter. But whatever it is, it's something that's not going to be mekabel tuma. We'll explain why in just a moment. But first, let the Gemara tell us, even though I gave it away, let the Gemara tell us what it is. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Birizi Atzada. So the first thing Rabbi Yehuda describes it as is a bracelet. So Mezer Rabbi Yosef, Biris Tahor, Rabbi Yosef, Babi Shabbos, V'il Atzada, Tamehi. So Rabbi Yosef says that is impossible. It can't be a bracelet. Because look at the Mishnah's description of the Biris. The Mishnah says that Biris is Tahora. It's something which is not Mekabel Tuma. And you can go out with it on Shabbos. And meanwhile, a bracelet is an article of jewelry. It's an article of clothing. It's a tachshit. It's going to be mekabel tuma. So you can't be right. So hachi kamar. So he says, no, this is what I meant. Biris tachas etzada omeres. The biris is like the bracelet. Now, as Rashi explains over here, what does that mean? It's like the bracelet. So it is like the bracelet in the sense that it's going to be wrapped around, but not wrapped around the arm, it's going to be wrapped around the leg. And as Rashi explains over here, let's see the Rashi together. Tachas etz ada, shebizroa omeres, b'shok lahachzika bate shokeha. Just like the bracelet wraps around your arm, so too this biris wraps around your leg, and what does it do? It holds up your socks. Shelo yiplu v'yiru shokeha, because what happens if the socks fall, so then the legs will be shown, and obviously that's a breach of tznius. Hilkach tahora. Now Rashi explains fine. So what these what it is, it's a garter. It's a woman's garter that holds up her socks. Now, in terms of the halachas of tumah tahara, Rashi explains, it is not makabel tumah. Why? And we go back to a discussion that we had earlier. Because it doesn't fit into any particular category. That is makabel tumah. The lavla noihi, because it's not jewelry. In other words, it doesn't accessorize. Nobody sees it. It's there only to support the socks. Ukli tash mishnah melohave. Now, it's not a tool in of itself. It's only there to facilitate and aid and service the socks. It's not a kli in of itself. Ela kli hamishamish kli dumya. The tabos akelim. It is a kli, but only servicing another kli. And so, therefore, it does not have a status of a kli tashmish in of itself. Damrin and Bepirkin Delel, we gave examples earlier like that. The Torah and Vyosim Bem, now in terms of going out on Shabbos, so even though Legabi the Halacha Sotoma Tahara, it's not Makabal Tomo, but nevertheless, a woman could go out with it on Shabbos. Why? Rashi continues, Ditzorech Levishahi, because you need it for your clothing. Umishla Va'achbi Nami Lekel Amechesh Lo Migle L'Shoka. Now, what's the last concern? So fine, so it's not Makabal Tomo because it's not a Kli in of itself. And it's not a jewelry, so fine, it's not makabel tumah. Now, in terms of going out with a Shabbos, of course you go out with it on Shabbos as Rashi, because it's there in order to maintain and keep the tznius of a woman and holding her socks up so that her legs will not be shown. And continues Rashi. What about the idea that she's going to take it off to show off to her friends? She's not going to take it off and show it off to her friends, because in doing so, that would be her revealing her legs, and that would be a breach of tznius. And so therefore, there is no concern whatsoever, which allows her to wear it on Shabbos. All that is Rashi's understanding of biris. Going back to the Gemara. Yosef Rabin Ravuna Kamed Rav Yirmiyah Yosef Rav Yirmiyah V'Kamin Namneim. So we have Rabin Ravuna, who are in front of Rav Yirmiyah, and they're learning in front of Rav Yirmiyah, and Rav Yirmiyah is somewhere between conscious and unconscious. He's slipping in and out of sleep. Now, Rabin opens up with the following. You know, Beerus is one, and Kevalim are two. And Amalei Rav Huna, Elav Elav B'Shtayim. What are you talking about, says Rav Huna? They're both two. Umitailin Shalshelas Beinehem, Venasu Kevalim. Now, as far as the Beerus is concerned, so we already explained. So that's those are the bands that hold the socks up. Now, as far as the Kevalim are concerned, so that's a chain. And what happens is that the woman basically attaches these bands one to another using this chain, and that's the kavelas. Kavelas, as we already described earlier, right, similar to the English word, I'm not saying that they are related, but similar to the English word of cable, kavelas. And the idea is that basically these two bands are chained one next to another. Now, we're going to see in just a moment what the benefit of that is. Shebo mashvelei mana. Now, but as far as halacha is concerned, tumah tahara, it now renders it a kli. It makes now this, what the garters we described earlier, not being a kli, now by having a chain being connected to the two, now it makes it a kli. Now, v'chi tema, I'm sorry, matil shashal b'neim, v'nasu kevalim. I'm sorry, the Gemara is asking a question. V'shashal shabam mashvalei mana, and now am I making a chain, now you're turning into a kli? The Gemara says, I don't understand. That doesn't seem to make any sense. We go back to a Gemara that we saw 2 weeks ago in the Daf, in which if a person has bells attached to him and it produces a sound. So because it produces a sound, so therefore now it's going to be makabel tumah because now it's a functional bell. And how do I know that the Gemara had a drasha? We're repeating the drasha here. Shenema kol davar asher yavo be'esh afilu dibor b'mashma. Anything that goes through a fire, and even the dibor, even when you have a kli that produces a sound, it is now going to be considered a kli. So bishlam asum kabar le'lekala v'kabin maisa. So the Gemara says, by bells I totally understand. The reason why bells have any function whatsoever is because it produces a sound. I get it. But over here, what benefit would there be for these cables, for these chains, for producing a sound, even if it does produce a sound? There's no benefit in the sound production that it makes. My masika avid. So the Gemara says no, that the fact that she's wearing this chain that is tying these bands together, that are not tying but restricting these bands that she's wearing on her legs, so that has with it a function and a purpose. And so therefore these chains are actually serving a function for the person itself. I'm going to highlight that point better in just a moment. And so as a result of that, now it is Mekabel Tumah. And the Gemara explains, what is the benefit of restricting your gait, your walk? Because the Gemara says, Mishpacha Achas Haisab Yerushalayim, there was a family in Yerushalayim, Shayu Psiyosem Gasos. Now it happened to have been that they had a very long gait. When they had strides, it was a long stride. Vayu Besula Sem No Shros. And it adversely affected their Besula because their strides were so long. So the women then had problems with their Dam Besulim. It didn't maintain. And only because of their particularly long stride. So Asulam Kvalim Vitilu Shashos by name Shaloyu Psiosem Gasos. And now you put on the cables. You have bands around each of the legs, a cable connecting the two, restricting the length of their stride, and that was helpful. Vala Yubisolasem no shores, and it helped the problem. It Araba Rav Yirmiya Amarlu Yasher Bachinam Rav Yochanan. Rav Yirmiya woke up, he was half asleep, he woke up. He was listening to them. He heard them. He says that was excellent. That's perfect, perfect analysis. That's exactly what I heard. B'shem Rav Yochanan. Now, in terms of the shashels being mekabel tumah, so if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi vasulahem shashelas hilkach shashels tashmish adam hu v'lav tashmish kli. So here Rashi really hammers this point home, as opposed to the biris, which is there to accessorize the socks that are worn by the woman, the stockings that are worn by the woman. Here the chain is directly affecting and influencing the person themselves. Rashi describes it as tashmish adam, and it's not tashmish kli. Now, as far as going out with this chain on Shabbos, so you can't. And Rashi explains that's Xavier de Rabbanan, because the shalshalos is a chain. Apparently it looked really good. Rashi also writes that when she takes off the chain, it does not mean that she has to expose her legs, because the belts, the bands are still there and in place. And so therefore, says Rashi, she can't go out with it on Shabbos because of this concern that she's going to take it off in order to show it to her friend. The comment of Rashi that she's not going to have to show off her legs when she takes off the chains, that admittedly is a little bit challenging, but that is Shitas Rashi. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. The Tosfos over here argues, but anyway, we'll stay with Rashi's presentation of the Gemara. Okay, and we are almost done with today's daf. Just one more section with truth of the matter is it goes well into tomorrow's daf, but let's begin it today. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. Minayin la'arig koshu shu tameh. How do I know that if I have a woven material of any size, it is going to be mekabel tumah? Now, right away, Tosfos jumps on this Gemara over here because we already learned back in the second parak of Shabbos by Mem Adlikin that in terms of an article, a garment, a swatch of clothing to be tameh, it has to be gimel by gimel, it has to be 3x3. And remember, we discussed, for Ashirim, it has to be gimel by gimel tfachim. For an ani, it has to be gimel by gimel etzbaos. But in other words, we gave shiurim earlier in terms of it. And now the Gemara makes it sound like that when you have a woven fabric, so it could be any size to be mekabel tumah, how do you make shalom between our Gemara and what we learned earlier? Tosfos suggests, you can see the Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Minayin La'arig. So he suggests that when you have a garment that was cut out from a larger garment, so there you need a shear. There it has to be a requisite amount of 3x3. Over here, if from the very beginning you are manufacturing this woven piece of garment, so because it is done so lichatchila, dimitchila, so therefore it's mekabel tumah at any amount. That is Tosfos's suggestion in terms of bridging our Gemara and the Gemara that we learned earlier. Anyway, coming back to our Gemara, so Rav Dimi quotes Rav Yochanan saying that when you have a woven material, it could be any amount, and it's going to be mekabel tumah. And how do I know that? I know that from the tzitz. The tzitz is the head plate worn by the Kohen Gadol on his forehead, and it was very small in nature. So Amalei Abai v'tzitz arigu. Now Abai is asking the question that I'm sure we're all wondering. How can you compare the two? The tzitz is a metal plate. The Atanya and the Gemara now just wants to make this point very clear. Tzitz kemin tashal zahav. It is a gold plate. V'rochav shtei etzpaos. In terms of its width, it is two etzpaos wide. Umukav me'ozen lo'ozen, and it goes from one ear to the other across the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. V'kotov la be'shitim. Now it says in two lines, yud hey lamala, v'kodesh lamed lamata. It reads all together, kodesh la'ashem. But Kodesh LaHashem, now there are a couple of ways in terms of how exactly to see this, how to exactly construct it. You can see Tosos over here, right on our daf, quotes the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Shem Hashem is written at the end of the top line, and Kodesh Lamed is written on the front part of the bottom line. So in other words, it reads across, but when you get to the word Hashem, you're going up, because Shem Hashem is lamala. It's physically, literally above. That's okay. Anyway, picture over here would be very helpful. Now Rabbi Lazar Rav Yossi says that I went to the Roman city, and unfortunately over there they had the tzitz. They collected it, going back to the Chorban Bayis Sheni, and it had the words Kodesh Hashem on one line. Now, how can you argue with that? Meaning, if he has the Kodesh Hashem on one line, how could there be any other position over here? How can there be? I'm saying this with pun intended. How could there be another shita? Thank you very much. That's my worst pun of the day, or best pun. Anyway, so how can there be another opinion? It's a wonderful question. Definitely needs an approach. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Anyway, so basically, let's go back to our discussion. Our discussion is that when I have a woven material of any size, it's mekabel tum, I know from the tzitz. To which the Gemara says, that's impossible. It can't be right. The tzitz is not a woven article. It's a piece of metal. Rav Dimi went to Narada and he says, look, correction. What I said earlier was a mistake. And Baron Kacham Mishim Rav Yochanan, this is the statement that goes back to Rav Yochanan, this is proper attribution. Minayin l'tachshi kol shekein shu tamei mitzitz. Minayin l'tachshi kol shehu shu tamei mitzitz. So, when I'm discussing an article of jewelry, so a jewelry of any size, of any piece, is going to be mitamei, and I know that from the tzitz. And how do I know that a woven fabric of any size is going to be mekabel tuma? I know that from the drasha of O Beged. When the Torah introduces us to the tuma of a sheretz, the Torah says that when the sheretz comes into contact with a beged. But the Torah says the word O Beged, the O over there is a ribui, meaning that it doesn't have to be a beged of any particular size, as long as it's woven, can be any size. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the following brisa, Ari Koshu Tame. V'tachshi kol shehu tamei. The brayso over here now says it clearly that a woven garment of any size is tamei. A article of jewelry of any size is going to be tamei. Arig v'tachshi kol shehu tamei. If I have woven or jewelry of any size, it's going to be tamei. Mosaf sak al habeged shetamei mishum arig. That line of the brayso is cryptic. And when we start tomorrow's daf, we're going to open up with trying to make sense of that line of the brayso. But just to wrap up over here today's daf. Amarava ari koshu tame me o beged. The woven garment of any size is going to be mekabel tuma. We learned that from the drasha of o beged. Tachshi koshu tame mitzitz. If I have a tachshit of any size, it's going to become tame, and we know that from the tzitz. Arig v'tachshi koshu. If I have a composite of something woven together with a jewelry, it'll be tame of any size. So mikol kli maisa, that comes from the pasuk of kol kli maisa. What are you talking about? That's learned from Midyan. And it was learned from Midyan. And as the bottom Rashi over here says, that's regarding Tumas Mace. And we're talking about Tumas Sheres. And the two Tumas may not be able to be learned one from the other. So the response is, if it were just up to a Svara, you'd be right. I could learn one from the other. But it's not necessarily a Svara, meaning it's a... It's a Gzeira Shava. And the Gzeira Shava allows us now to take the halachas that we learn regarding Klei Midyan, even though that's regarding Tumas Meis, and transfer that over to Masheretz, which is what we are discussing over here. Ad kan divrei Agamar for today's daf. Let us just simply recap. Our Mishnah says wearing weapons on Shabbos, is that a tachshit or is that a masui? And a machlokis in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama's position is it's a masui, it's a burden. And if you go out with it on Shabbos, you would be chayv a karban chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says it is a tachshit. It led the Gemara to discuss whether or not during the Yemos HaMashiach, where the Navi describes that we are not going to be having weapons anymore, is that allegorical or is that literal? And that is, says the Gemara, a machlokis amongst the Tanayim, a machlokis amongst the Amorayim, in terms of the Nevuah regarding the Yemos HaMashiach. Is the Navi describing allegory or is the Navi describing literal? And that is a major debate. Now, over here, in terms of our discussion, it therefore will inform us in terms of weapons, whether or not they are going to be used during the Zman HaMashiach. If they are, so then they could, in fact, be described as a tachshit. If they're not going to be used anymore, so then the argument can be made that they are a masui. They're a burden. They are a necessary part of our life, but it's not something which we look forward to having during the Yemos HaMashiach. And so, therefore, what is the Yemos HaMashiach going to look like? So like we discussed earlier in the beginning of today's daf, a major debate amongst the Tanaim and amongst the Amarim as well. Other big ideas that came up in the course of today's daf, a mikra yotzei midei pshuta, we touched on it today. It's not really big, it wasn't a big part of today's daf. A big part of today's daf was the idea that when learning from somebody, so how to learn, who to learn from, so that was a big part of today's daf. Rish Lakish gave us a number of mamarei chazal, of what exactly a person should be doing in terms of learning, how to learn, right? How to engage others in learning, who to learn from. So that was a big part of today's daf. Second half, and the Gemara then on the bottom of the Amma touched on having a wild dog in your house. The Gemara condemned having a wild dog in your house. The Gemara told a horrific story. And then finally today we talked about the Biris and the Kavelas. And what is the Biris and what is the Kvalim? The Biris is not Mekabel Toma, and a woman can go out with it on Shabbos. We explain both features. The Kvalim is Mekabel Toma, and a woman cannot go out with it on Shabbos. And we presented this morning Rashi's explanation of why that is. And finally, the Gemara concluded today with describing an Arig, a woven garment, which is Mekabel Toma at any size. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? So we learn it from a Drasha. And when it comes to jewelry of any size is Mekabel Toma, how do we know that? We learn that from the Tzitz.